Masechet Kelim, Perek Chof Hei, Mishnah Tet is today. So we've been talking about the dinim of Achorayim, Toch, and Beit HaTzviyah, or Beit HaTzvitah, Zirazir Chagiga. We now want to make it clear that this din, which the Rabbanim made, remember, in order for people to be absolutely clear about the fact that mashkim are only being metame kelim in Rabbanan, and therefore they made this weird halacha that if the mashkin touched the kli on the outside, it's not going to be metame the inside, and it's not going to be metame the Beit HaTzvitah. This is true of kelim that are being used for chulin. But remember, we have a concept of what's called Malot Bakodesh. Malot Bakodesh means that the Rabbanan made stricter standards when it came to things that were handling Inyanim of Kodesh. And one of the dinim of Malot of Kodesh is that Klei HaKodesh Ein Lehem Achorayim V'Toch Ve'Ein Lehem Beit HaTzvi'ah. So if something is being used for Inyanim of Hegdesh, then once Mashkim Tmeim touch it anywhere, even on the outside, it's Mentame, the Toch, and the Beit HaTzvitah, it's all considered to be a clear one single din of the entire Kli. And another one about Kodesh that is different is that Ein Madbilim Kelim B'Toch Kelim LaKodesh. Now this is only being brought agav because obviously our parak over here was focused on the concept of Achorayim B'Toch U'Beit HaTzvitah. This din is just coming to tell me implications of Chumrah B'Kodesh that follow. You can also not be tovel a kli inside of another kli when it comes to Kodesh. Now, this is really a tough one because, I mean, remember what all of us do when we have a lot of kelim to be tovel is we put them all into a larger kli like a metal basket or something, and we're tovel the whole thing and shake it up, you know. And that way we figure you got all the forks and spoons and everything. I mean, it would take me like 5 hours to go through and put these things through one by one. But by Kodesh, that's exactly what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to do it one by one. Because by Kodesh, we're afraid that the weight of one kli is going to end up on the other kli, prevent the water from actually penetrating around it. And therefore, obviously, it's a very far-fetched kind of concern. But it's part of the malos of chumrah that we made for kedusha. Okay, now we finally get into a halacha. Once we're talking about these overall rulings, the other most famous overall ruling that we've ever spoken about in the dinim of Tuma V'Taira and Kalim, finally we meet in the 25th parak, even though we've used it 100 times until now, namely, Kol HaKelim Yordim Lidei Tumatan B'machshava Ve'inam Olim Lidei Tumatan Ela B'Shinui Ma'aseh. So the moment that you decide that you are ready to use this object as a kli, you do not have to change it in any physical way. The machshava alone is sufficient to turn it into a kli. So what before might have been just a raw skin suddenly becomes a tablecloth. That's fine if this is your determination. However, you cannot lose the ability to be mekabel tuma, certainly not lose an actual tuma that it was mekabel, unless it is changed. You can't decide, well, I'm not going to use it a kli anymore, and therefore the tuma disappears. And therefore, it won't be roi lekabel tuma mikamahaba. Not so. You would have to make some kind of change. And maaseh is mevatel midei maaseh umiyad machshava. This is the klal. If you do a physical act cancels the impact of a previous either physical act or a previous machshava that was able to create the yirida lidei tuma. But a machshava will never cancel the impact of an act, and it will not even be sufficient to undo the machshava that had previously been used. You cannot just change your mind when it comes to the dinim of tuma. This has obvious implication Megabe Asiyas Teshuva and the concept of Tumah V'Tayra, which relates to Tumah V'Tayra from Chet.